Pullman National Monument in Chicago, Illinois, with your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes.
We welcome you to Live from the Pullman National Monument, our global cast magazine format talk radio show, where we discuss all things culturally economic development, i.e. tourism, and we hold informative conversations on the arts, music, business, and people. I'm your host, Dr. Lynn Hughes, founder of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, a National Park Service site in Chicago, Illinois. Good day to you, my listening audience, and we thank you for joining us. Stay with us. Today's show is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger Magazine and Hughes Peterson Publishing, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative. I want to say welcome to Live from the Pullman National Monument, and we hope that this show will be an informative and enlightening one for you. Our co-host today is Mr. David Peterson, who is, in addition to being president of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, he is also founder and chief of operations for the Randolph's Dream Community Development Corporation. He's going to tell you more about that later in the show, but I just wanted to do a little housekeeping and tell you who our guest host was today. And I wanted to also say, as we have established a tradition of, since this the name of the show is Live at the Pullman National Monument, I want to begin again with providing some information to the listening audience about the Pullman National Monument. What it is, who it is, what it's about, that kind of thing, because we are new. And there are still lots of mystique and questions about the Pullman National Monument. People are still trying to sort through the mystique and confusion that surrounds the Pullman National Monument designation. What is it? What is it about? What are the boundaries? That kind of thing. And so we hope through this show that we will be able to provide you answers to many of those questions for those of you who are in the U.S. and those who are outside of the United States about the Pullman National Monument. Many of you know from the voluminous media coverage that the Pullman National Monument was designated on February the 19th by President Barack Obama, designated the Historic Pullman District, which is where it physically is, as a national monument, and it was done so under the Antiquities Act, where he had the power to designate an area of his choosing without the cumbersome and sometimes difficult process of dealing with Congress and the Senate. So each president has that privilege to designate certain things. So President Barack Obama designated the Historic Pullman District as a national monument under the National Park Service in the United States on February the 19th, 2015. Where is it? Well, it is roughly a half square mile on the far south side of Chicago, and encompassing the area from 103rd Street to 115th Street, from Cottage Grove, to the Bishop Ford Expressway. The National Park Service is the official authority of the monument and have ownership of certain properties in the National Monument, specifically the clock tower. But the Pullman National Monument is different from most national monuments in that it is not just a building. It is more of a thematic district, and so it encompasses quite an area. And in the Pullman National Monument, it is it encompasses, in addition to the National Park Service ownership in certain properties, it also encompasses organizations or properties like the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum and the Historic Pullman Foundation and numerous other places. Maybe it's about six or seven. But we are what is referred to as partner sites. And what that means is that the National Park Service does not own our property, but we are in fact a part of the Pullman National Monument District. And I hope that that information is a clear enough distinction to help clear up the misperception that has often been written about in the news articles that have been covered about the area. And there's all the hoopla about how the community will benefit from being designated as a national monument district. Well, what this show is about is cultural economic development under the broader umbrella of tourism, and that is the doorway through which the community will benefit. A little bit more history. For decades, the neglect over the years resulted in the emergence of endless opportunities for the area now designated as a national monument. New businesses are popping up on a regular basis and emerging on what had been vacant properties, and those are rapidly disappearing. And so if you can kind of grasp what I'm saying the establishment of the Pullman National Monument has provided opportunities for emerging businesses, well-established businesses, but most important for us to acknowledge is that it provides an opportunity for Mr. Johnson, Joe Schmo down the street, to enter into an area that provides opportunity, equal opportunity, by the way, for those people who are not corporate America. But since this is all about tourism, it provides an opportunity for individual entrepreneurs to step into what had been exclusively a good old boys club and makes available opportunities for people who have an idea to start a business, who may have already started a small business and may or may not have had the capital to push their business to the door where it would get noticed. But under the umbrella of tourism, which is probably the last bastion of economic opportunity for the ordinary person, of which we consider ourselves a part, it offers opportunities for us to enter into that door and kind of carve out our own niche for opportunity for ourselves without having to get into the muck and mire of politics and who sent you and whether you're worthy or whether your economic background permits you to enter into the same door as a Hyatt, for example. You may not enter at the same level, but this door of opportunity allows you to come in, and no one can say to you that you cannot come in because you don't have a track record or you don't have history. Let's say for the sake of this discussion, everyone knows about tourism, but I think that the average American always thinks of tourism as huge tourist sites like Disney or, you know, resorts. But it's also what people don't understand or forget or neglect to grasp is that it also involves what I call tourism tourism support businesses. And so by that I mean it could be a novelty shop. It could be a snack shop. It could be some sort of service providers. Business people travel all the time. And I'm one of those people. We're workaholics. You just cannot go on vacation and not do some work. And so this just popped in my head as I'm providing this information to you. It could be where you might have a business service center. Let's say it's a copy shop, or let's say it's a typing message center. Something like that is always needed. Novelty shops are always needed. I don't know anyone who's ever gone on a vacation and has not bought a t-shirt. And so that is the kind of thing that I mean. And so we hope that with this show, on an ongoing basis, we can tell you what's going on, who's doing it, and just where you may have an opportunity to go into an open door. The state of Illinois operates something called the State Historic Site. It is a clock, the Pullman Administration Clock Tower. It is basically an archive. You can't call it a museum because it is not, but they have vast holdings of artifacts that are directly related to the Pullman Company. There is also the Hotel Florence that was built by George Pullman, named after his daughter, which is now, we're still not sure what that's going to end up being. There's the Pullman Visitor Center that is shared by the National Park Service until they get their place in order so that they can move into the clock tower. And of course, there's us, the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum. We are the only African-American labor history museum worldwide. We're the only museum of its kind. And we like to think that we provide a marketing asset to the National Park Service. We're a 21-year-old institution that has been there long before the National Park Service came, and we intend to be there. And so we're developing, too. We're learning as we go. It's a learning process for everyone. And so we will continue to provide you information as we go along. And there's so much excitement and enthusiasm in the Pullman National Monument with all of the people who live there and the sites that I mentioned to you. We're called the partner sites. And so we hope that we will learn and grow together. And again, it is an opportunity for ordinary people to become involved. And I know many people in the listening audience know the reputation of Chicago, but there are lots of good things that are happening. And if people allow this national monument to emerge in the way that it has the potential to, it can be a marvelous site, and it'll be a wonderful place for all manner of people to visit. And I just hope and pray that we can continue along those lines so that long after I'm gone, that it will become what it has the potential to be. And that is where people like David Peterson comes in. And I hope I don't want to spend the entire time talking about this, but we have developed something called the Pullman Messenger magazine. And it's a magazine that is devoted thoroughly, totally to activities of within the Pullman National Monument, businesses, new businesses that are coming, businesses that were already there. We have two or three new hotels, restaurants coming, all manner of things, a fabulous health club, and all of those kinds of things. So just to let you know, for those people who are listening, those are the kinds of things that will be available to you, and those are also the kinds of things that let you know what kind of opportunities may be emerging for you. Yes, we are now the Pullman National Monument, a national park site, and that has many benefits, and they will continue to emerge. And so we're going to take a quick commercial break. Again, this program today is brought to you by the Pullman Messenger magazine, partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, the Chicago Neighborhood Initiative, and Hughes Peterson Publishing. We have, we're going to take a quick commercial break and share with you some of the things that those people do. Today's show is partially underwritten by United Auto Workers, Local 551, and Hughes Peterson Publishing, Chicago, Illinois. Well, welcome back. And we are delighted to have as our guest host today, Mr. David Peterson. And we're going to let Mr. Peterson share with you some of the wonderful things that are happening, some of the fantastic plans that are being implemented and that are still, in fact, on the drawing table. And I'm not going to take away from what he's going to share with you. So, David Peterson, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon. And so why don't you share with our listening audience some of the exciting things that are you have the opportunity to be a part of, and also they have the opportunity to help initiate there at the Pullman National Monument under the banner of the Randolph Stream Community Development Corporation.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Well, with Randolph's Dream, our mission basically is to foster the development and activity of cultural economic development within the boundaries of Pullman National Monument and eventually outside, but our focused area right now is Pullman National Monument, specifically because we're focused on tourism as that means of social and economic development. So what we've been doing more than anything lately is focusing on that person-to-person relationship building, you know, building a sense of community, specifically on the northern end of the Monument District, where it has not been as present as it could and should have been. Now, for several years, at least 22, to be exact, there has been a lot of activity as far as community development, starting out with an organization called Historic North Pullman. You know, now we have Pullman CDC. We have a couple of new initiatives that have just sparked. United Pullman is a new organization coming around. But all of these things are all of these organizations are basically focused on creating the same sense of community that the South End has in Pullman. We admire that sense of community that they have and have been fostering for some time. And some of us have that same like-minded spirit. However, our focus right now is basically getting everyone else in the community as inspired as we ourselves are. They're unfortunately just as a different culture. So a lot of these events are geared towards that. So you have United Pullman, who had their inaugural event yesterday, which was a block party on 107th and Champlain. And that basically brought out a lot of different community stakeholders, residents, constituents, et cetera, just to build this form of community and, you know, show people that, you know, it's okay to be outside talking to your neighbors. You know, everyone was able to get a copy of the Pullman Messenger to find out a lot of the things that are going on in the Monument District that they might have not have been privy to. And these types of things are great. There's also a meeting coming up for the Pullman CDC this week. The Pullman CDC is an organization ran by Joyce Chapman, who does a lot of community development in the neighborhood as well. So, you know, all of these things are very important, because once again, they build this sense of community. Now, once we've built this sense of community, we have everyone together. Now, what is the issue? Now we have a pot, if you will, of issues that we need to address, because all of these different people have different personalities and different things going on in their personal household. Unfortunately, in our community, the narrative usually starts and ends with poverty, a lack of resources that give them the same quality of life that most of our neighbors have. With that being said, it's our duty to think of that first and foremost, because we're dealing with people and not machines, and take that into consideration. You know, so we believe that culture is the cure. And that's why we have strategically aligned ourselves at the feet of the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, because they serve as our cultural grounding base, if you will. They are what keep us connected to what most CDCs and other organizations don't have, and that's a sense of a responsibility to preserve and interpret our history, heritage, and culture. With that, it gives us the blueprint of what to do and what not to do, because it has been done either right or wrong in the past. And with that being said, you know, we focus all of our things around those two areas. Once again, history, heritage, and culture, and cultural economic development. Is that a good sense of kind of what we have going on, you know, as of right now, Dr. Hughes?
I think it's an excellent explanation. I think it provides a framework for the listeners to understand, because as we talk about tourism and as we talk about cultural economic development, that is a relatively new concept for the general public, but cultural economic development has been around a long time. It is just the average person has not connected with or been tuned into or has been properly informed about the concept of cultural economic development. But it's been around as long as tourism has been around, but the general public has this notion or the misperception that tourism, again, I said this at the top of the show, that people's concept of tourism has to do with like a Disney World or, you know, the different resorts that are around the country. There is that. But there's also how can tourism impact the lives of the people in the communities? Because it doesn't just stop at the downtown areas of the respective cities across the country and beyond the United States, for that matter. You know, that you take a look at places like Brazil. And it's the same issues are there. The same issues. It's like Jamaica. The same issues are there. They just call them something else. But at the end of the day, when you take a look at what just happened with the Olympics in Brazil, you'll kind of grasp what I mean. So your explanation, very detailed and excellent explanation, by the way, I think should provide the listening audience with a better handle on what we're talking about when we say cultural economic development. Fast forward to how can average people benefit without getting consumed by the muck and mire of politics that just screws up everything, and that's another conversation, and so I won't go there. But I think that's an excellent job, and I'd like for you to elaborate more about what you're doing, and you know, with some specificity if you can, so that we all have a better understanding of what's happening, what's planned, and what's coming.
Absolutely. Well, Randolph's Dream Community Development Corporation was founded on. The reason it's called Randolph's Dream, because what he said to the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porter on their organizing night, August 25th, 1925.
You're talking about A. Philip Randolph.
That's right, Asa Philip Randolph. What Asa Philip Randolph said at the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car meeting in the Elks Lodge in Harlem, New York, was what this is about is making you master of your economic fate. You know, that is what he said to the Brotherhood of Sleeping Car Porter, to engage them, to call them into action, to be focused on the economics of the situation. Not so much the social or the civil part of it, but more the economics, which he felt would give them all of those other things that they wanted, being financially free. And that is the same type of freedom that we want to offer, that same aspiration for economic freedom is what we want to offer to our neighborhoods and the residents of the community, because we want them to feel like, you know, in the face of poverty, you have an opportunity to pull yourself up by the bootstraps by this enormous pot of money that we are now a part of, being a tourism destination. You know, tourism is one of the most impactful economic markets in the world. And we feel that by not taking advantage of that in entirety, we lose a lot. And that is the one thing that stifles that development in regard to politics, because a lot of politicians don't see it from that perspective, because they might not be artsy people, or they might not be necessarily innovative or creative people, but they're politicians or seat holders, if you will. And so they operate from a different perspective. I know this because I have a Bachelor of Science from Florida Agricultural Mechanical University in political science. So in some of our studies, the way that we were trained was more machine-like as far as how the overall system is concerned. Now, unfortunately, the majority of the politicians that we might come in contact with don't necessarily have that education base. So they might have got in office because they know someone or are popular, but they lack that structural training that is needed to even be a good politician. And that hurts us as a community such as Pullman, because we're light years ahead of the norm. You know what I mean? So we can't have a Fred Flintstone operator in a George Jetson arena, if you will. So there are a lot of different opportunities that come financially from this, you know. And just to go specifically, I'll go into that a little later. But just going back to the answer to your question, what we've been doing, we started this summer with our annual parade throughout the neighborhood, our annual Juneteenth celebration. Juneteenth, which is, for those who don't know, the day that the blacks in Texas actually found out that slavery was over. Although the Declaration of Independence had been signed, because there was an email or the news or things of this nature, a lot of people were still held in captivity after that signing of the Declaration of Independence because they didn't know. So it wasn't until the soldiers rode in on the horses and told them on this day, June 19th, in 1865, once again, 2 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence, that slavery was over. So we celebrate this, you know, every year, just to kind of celebrate that. And we do it with a Mardi Gras style parade throughout the neighborhood, just to engage the community and let them know what we have going on down at the museum, and offer them to come out for free. You know, we partner with the Mounted Buffalo Soldiers, the Black Cowboys and Cowgirls, the Crossroads Corvette Club, and we put on a great show. And the Corvette Club chauffeur is the Tuskegee Airmen, some of the original Tuskegee Airmen. So we do this with pride because it just gives them a sense of history. However, it's also an educational ride, if you will, because once again, you have living history. You have Tuskegee Airmen, you know what I mean, who were directly impacted by the works of A. Philip Randolph. You have the Buffalo Soldiers, who were the original National Park Rangers. You know what I mean? So all of these historical points tie in together of the thematic, you know, representation of our monument, and now, you know, inclusion into the National Park Service. In addition to that, we had a commemorative event for the Great Migration Centennial, which is we're celebrating this year. You know, as you know or don't know, this is the 100th year celebration and anniversary of the Great Migration, the beginning of the Great Migration. So in 1916, you had 7 million blacks come from the south to the north, and 500,000 of that 7 million came to Chicago. So this is where we began to see, you know, a different wave of people coming to Chicago. So this migration period took place from 1916 to 1970 in three different waves. So we have all of these people who've come here, and they've been living here since and impacted this city, you know, culturally, economically, socially, you know, any way you can think of it. So, you know, this year we're pretty much celebrating. We had a commemorative event for that because we want to be able to celebrate another centennial 100 years from now. So it's important that we continue to tell this story in a thematic manner so that our youth and young adults will know it and be able to continue that story as it goes on. And we were proud to have been able to partner with the Pullman Porter Museum and their youth and young adult division called Museum 44, where hip-hop meets history, as they recently partnered with After School Matters to provide 16 jobs in the North Pullman community this summer. You know, that was a glorious event and a wonderful opportunity, and it gave us an opportunity to economically empower our youth, you know, beyond words. There was a partnership made with Urban Partnership Bank where the kids could open up a bank account there or cash their checks for a lower rate. And this is something that we're glad to be able to influence in our youth coming up now, because, you know, students from the age of 14 to 18, primarily coming from low-income families, single-parent families, or just urban families, you know, who are still impacted by the same social ills that, you know, everyone is impacted by, were able to get a job this summer where that job description was basically to learn about their history, heritage, and culture, and learn how to create what we call a deliverable, which is something that they can show to their friends, their peers, their parents, and everyone else of what it is that they think about something. So now these kids have the capability. They learned a skill this summer. They have the capability to tell stories and document stories from their narrative. So we want to train them to not necessarily depend on someone else to tell their narrative, because if they leave it up to someone else, it will be exaggerated and excluded, as it always is. You know, so many people are worried about what's going on in the city, as they should be. But however, while they're spending all of their attention on that, they're missing out on the wonderful things that are happening.
Well, that's an excellent point, particularly because I know that people all over the United States and the world, for that matter, are tuned in to Chicago when they talk about the violence that's in Chicago. But Chicago is a wonderful city, and there's a lot more going on than violence. It is just that the media, unfortunately, because that's their business is sensationalism and news, and so they understandably focus right in on the violence. But I'm so happy that you have provided that information or shared that information to the listening audience so that people all over the country and the world can hear and understand and be made aware of that there are a lot more interesting things happening in Chicago than is perpetuated, on the news. One of the things that's really important is because at the A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, we have a tremendous amount of international visitors. We have people from Europe, from the UK, all parts of the UK. We have people from London, from the Netherlands. We have people from Greece and just all Japan, those kinds of things. And so people would think, outside looking in, people would never imagine that we have international visitors coming to an urban area to learn about and to visit sites under the banner of tourism about Black history, heritage, and culture. And it's safe. They have a wonderful time. They're very well informed. And when they leave, they are overwhelmed with what they have learned. And so I am thrilled that you made a point of sharing some of the information, because people don't get how all of these things are connected, and they are. They're connected, and people just separate things out and compartmentalize things, and they don't understand that it's really all connected. I really would like for you to share now some, if you have any statistical information on some of the things that you talk about. I think that would help also to inform our listening audience on what you're talking about. Do you have that information available, or do you have them on top of your head that you could share with us?
Oh, absolutely. And I pride myself on having access to this type of information, because one of my classes in my undergraduate study, our budget and fiscal management class, our teacher used to always say, you know, in God we trust, everyone else bring data. So, you know, nobody cares what you feel or what you heard. We want to know the data. We want to know the specific numbers that deal with what it is that you're talking about. So a lot of our information that we've been retrieving with Randolph's Dream Community Development Corporation this first year, and as we've been organized, is specifically that. We made it a point to basically just try our best to brand ourselves, but more than anything, acquire the data needed in order to be effective in this region, in this market. So we're partners with Choose Chicago, and we've had an opportunity to go to their event where they basically unleashed their annual report. And with that annual report comes a great deal of data that deals with tourism in the state of Illinois, in Chicago specifically. And, you know, these numbers will blow your mind, because there is a trend in evolving tourism numbers. in the city of Chicago, and it's been going on since about 2010. And I mean, it's just consistently went up. Like, the total tax revenue in 2010 was $616.2 million. This is total tax revenue. In 2015, it was $926.5 million, right? So the Chicago hotel tax revenue was $67.7 million in 2010. In 2015, it was $124.1 million. Now, the overall hotel revenue was $1.5 billion in 2010. 2015, it was $2.2 billion. So you see a direct, you know, uprising of numbers. And now direct tourism spending was $11.1 billion in 2010. 2015, $14.8 billion. The jobs created through tourism, economic impact in 2010, 124.4 thousand. In 2015, 137.9. Once again, you see how it's coming. Now, as far as people who are coming here, you might think, oh, well, it's so bad there. People aren't coming anymore. Well, in 2010, the total visitation was 39.33 million. In 2015, 51.83 million.
My goodness.
Domestic visitation, and this was the total for 2015. We're talking about 50.38 million. Now, international, we had 1.45 million, right? So in the U.S., by overseas visitors, we're the 10th most visited city. You know, and these are the types of numbers that the normal, like you said, Joe Schmo, might not know about or might not even care about, because they don't necessarily see how that impacts them, because when they think about tourism, they don't think about the far south side of Chicago from 103rd to 115th Street, Cottage Grove to the expressway. They don't look at this as a tourism destination because it hasn't been marketed and packaged like one until now. And that's why vehicles like Live from Pullman National Monument, the Pullman Messenger, are so important, because it gives people, the regular person who's not invited to those boardroom discussions, the opportunity to understand exactly what's going on. So beyond that, you know, so now we take all that into consideration. And we also take into consideration what's going on in the urban community just in general. There's something called the micro market recovery zone, which ironically, specifically, North Pullman is a part of. So you have North Pullman, you have Rosemore, and you have Roseland a part of this, right? North Pullman, where the median income is $18,159. You know, median household income. No, that's disposable income. I'm sorry about that. The median household income is $29,215. So as you see, we have low-income, very low-income people in this community that really, really could take advantage of this and should be able to take advantage of this. And, you know, this is important because in North Pullman, you have 98% of those people are African-American. Now, this doesn't exclude our friends and neighbors down on the south end. This is just our narrative, where we see that the deprivation is more dense in this area. So, of course, we're focused on it, because that is where the social and economic development really needs to be. And this will easily make the entire community better. You know, so once we get the north end up to speed, if you will, with the southern end, there'll be this invisible Mason-Dixie line, if you will, in our community in 2016.
You know, I think that the information that you just shared, people are probably, their heads are exploding once they heard those numbers, because it is mind-boggling that those kinds of dollars are existing and derived from the wonderful umbrella of tourism, which is what we've been talking about for 20 plus years. Tourism is the last bastion of economic development, where ordinary people can get in and benefit from. And it is my hope against hope that the information that we are able to provide to listeners through this vehicle that's made available to us at BBS Radio, Live from the Pullman National Monument, has made available to the ordinary person. It could not have come at a better time. And again, the Pullman Messenger magazine is something that was never had before by people in the community. And of course, the base is the National A. Philip Randolph Pullman Porter Museum, and I just hope that people will want to learn more about the museum, visit the museum, and visit the website, learn more about it at PullmanPorterMuseum.com.
Visit the PullmanPorterMuseum.com, where you can purchase an annual membership at the level of your choice. And of course, visit our website here to find out more about the show live from the Pullman National Monument at bbsradio.com/live from PNM to contact us.
Our guest today, Jason Lesnevich, who is Cultural Tourism Manager of Neighborhoods from CHU Chicago. As the title of our show indicates, Live from the Pullman National Monument, the show is all about tourism. And a considerable focus for the show is all about neighborhood tourism. Our first guest is perfect for today's show. He is Jason Lesnevich, Cultural Tourism Manager of Neighborhoods for CHU Chicago. Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, this is wonderful. I think I would like to start with your telling us a little bit about CHU Chicago. What is it and what does it do?
Sure. CHU Chicago is the sales and marketing organization for the city of Chicago. It was formed in 2012 under Mayor Rahm Emanuel to really make sure that we have a tourism agency focused on selling McCormick Place for conventioneers, but also making sure that we have a strong marketing arm to attract leisure visitors from the domestic markets and various international markets around the world. So that is our main purpose, is to make sure that we are filling McCormick Place and drawing as many leisure, sports, and business visitors to the city of Chicago.
Fantastic. You are considered the guru in Chicago on the topic of cultural tourism. So let's start with your, let's start with your giving a description to our listening audience and tell us exactly what is cultural tourism, and let's go from there.
You know, culture really helps define a people, a neighborhood, a city. And so it's really making sure that we promote and raise awareness of our cultural institutions, from the large museums like the Art Institute of Chicago, all the way down to the ethnic museums throughout the city, our dance scene, our theater scene. You know, when we talk about cultural tourism, we really talk about 12 disciplines that make up the cultural tourism landscape of Chicago, from architecture and historic sites to the dance, the theater, the music scene, the culinary scene in Chicago, our neighborhoods, our literary aspects. So there's so many different aspects of cultural tourism, but I really think it helps define a city on what a city has to offer and what a city represents to the world in terms of its offerings and drawing people into the city for these great cultural events and attractions.
Well, I must say that Chicago certainly does have an abundance of cultural attractions and offerings that should accommodate the taste of any visitor to our great city. What I'd like to do is to ask you to talk now a bit about the neighborhoods in Chicago, where cultural tourism is an important factor. Can we do that?
Absolutely. You know, our Chicago has a culture of neighborhoods, in a sense, as you know, Dr. Hughes. You know, Chicago, due to its immigration patterns, you know, so many different immigrant groups came to Chicago and settled in these wonderful ethnic enclaves, if you will, you know, where you had your churches working as your social services and your merchant streets where you start getting business opportunities. So in a sense, as Chicago was founded, we had all these wonderful neighborhoods set up through Chicago. And then it's still true today. And, you know, our neighborhoods really help differentiate us from other cities, that we have these wonderful neighborhoods that have great cultural offerings for visitors. So when they come into the city, yes, they can do the downtown attractions, but it's very important, and every visitor should explore some of our neighborhoods while they're coming to the city of Chicago. And in a sense, you know, it gives us great pride. The residents of Chicago take great pride in their neighborhoods and make sure that they're invested in their neighborhoods. And it's really important to bring visitors to our neighborhoods for the economic impact, going to the great restaurants, going to the cultural organizations, and maybe doing some shopping when you're in one of these, you know, great cultural neighborhoods throughout Chicago.
Can you, let's talk about some of those neighborhoods. What about some of the landmark neighborhoods in Chicago? Can you talk a bit about the role cultural tourism plays in those communities and perhaps the impact cultural tourism has on those communities?
Yeah, the first one that does come to mind is our great Bronzeville neighborhood, the great African-American historic neighborhood on the near south side of Chicago. And I really hope, and I know there's a movement, and I really think it will succeed in becoming a national heritage area here in America. And, you know, Bronzeville offers so many great cultural tourism opportunities through the historic sites in the neighborhood, through some of the music legacy in the neighborhood, to really draw people in to understand its history, its sites. And then again, it's, you know, if we can draw visitors into these iconic neighborhoods, these, you know, cultural neighborhoods, we can start showing the economic impact as more people come in and go to the restaurants and the cultural organizations and do a little shopping. So, you know, Bronzeville comes to mind right away. There's some other neighborhoods, of course, the Pullman neighborhood. Great history, great story to tell. The architecture is still basically fully intact, so you can fully experience the culture of Pullman. And it really, you know, Pullman has so many links to other neighborhoods through its history there, that it's very important to, you know, visit Pullman and really understand its full impact on the entire city, I believe. One other neighborhood that comes to mind is also on the southwest side, is the Pilsen neighborhood. Great, today, a great Mexican-American neighborhood. You can have a full, you know, cultural experience there through the museum, the National Museum of Mexican Art, have wonderful regional Mexican cuisine, take in some of the street art scene. So those are some neighborhoods that come to mind right away when we talk about cultural tourism.
You know, one of the things that we talk about frequently on this show is how African-American communities in particular don't participate in the area of tourism as most communities do, because we have not had the experience or the education about tourism to help us better understand the advantages that are available under the umbrella of tourism. And there's also the double-edged sword, because as communities evolve and tourism becomes a focus, there's also the risk of gentrification of some neighborhoods. And so I wondered if you might have some feedback or have some thoughts on that particular angle.
You know, I would agree with you that it is a double-edged sword in a sense. And if you look at certain neighborhoods that have gone through major transition from, you know, what would be considered, you know, not a great area to visit to now is absolutely booming. And, you know, obviously real estate prices do start to go up. Storefront rentals start to go up. And so you can, you know, you can see that in certain neighborhoods of Chicago. I would agree with you there. But, you know, tourism, if we can start drawing people to a neighborhood, it does give business opportunities. You know, hey, we're getting an increased visitation to this neighborhood. Let's open a storefront. Let's open a music venue, or let's open up an art gallery. So I think, you know, when you're bringing more visitors into a neighborhood, it does give entrepreneurs some business opportunities. But again, I will say, I do agree with you that there is a tipping point in a sense where the neighborhood becomes such a destination, so popular, that rents, real estate prices can go up and can push out the people living in that neighborhood. And, you know, we do see that through various neighborhoods throughout Chicago.
Well, it is sort of, I guess you would call that a cost of doing business, because it does happen. But what we hope to do is to, through programs like this one, as we talk about tourism, to enlighten and educate people about the opportunities that are there, so that people don't sit and wait until it's too late. But because there is, you know, I often say that tourism is one of the last bastions of economic opportunity that does not come with a lot of barriers and boundaries in terms of who can invest and who can invest in tourism venues, and all of the things, the list of things that you just described. Present those kinds of opportunities, and even smaller venues or opportunities or shops that can emerge that will service tourists that come to a particular place.
I completely agree with you, Dr. Hughes. And, you know, I think Pullman is ripe for that investment. You would hope that you're educating the local residents first through some of the community groups of the potential of the, you know, they're saying, you know, hundreds of thousands of visitors to Pullman in particular, since it's a national park now. And you really hope the residents that are already living there become empowered to invest in their own neighborhood, continue that investment. And then, you know, since they're already living there, they stay there and they're not, you know, pushed out to another neighborhood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Jason, do you have anything in particular that you want to talk about?
You know, True Chicago is involved with so many things across, you know, various disciplines. We're going to start promoting, obviously, the holiday season coming up. It's a great city to come in, do some Christmas shopping, taking a lot of our traditions across various neighborhoods for the holiday shopping season. And since, unfortunately, as you know, winter's right around the corner, we'll be getting right into Chicago Restaurant Week, Chicago Theater Week. It's a wonderful opportunity to take in Chicago's vast theater scene. And then Chinese New Year will be on us. We do a big citywide Chinese New Year celebration at the end of January.
Well, Jason Lesnevich, everybody, from the CHU Chicago entity in Chicago, Illinois, is our guest for today. And we thank you for coming on. We thank you for taking some time of your Sunday to share with us and enlighten and inform our listeners. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Dr. Hughes. And anytime you need me, I'm available.
Live from Pullman National Monument was brought to you by Hughes Peterson Publishing in Chicago, Illinois. Hosted by Dr. Lynn Hughes and produced by Dr. McIntyre Evans.